Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Teen confesses to killing cousin. A murder warrant has been issued for an 18-year-old Odessa man who confessed Monday to shooting his 26-year-old cousin to death in West Odessa. Hector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said deputies were dispatched to the 9,000 block of West Albert Drive in reference to a gunshot victim around 3:45 p.m. Monday. When deputies arrived, they found Kayla Allen dead in front of a residence. According to court documents, evidence at the scene indicated the victim had been shot with a high-power, possibly an assault-style rifle. Security camera footage captured the shooting and confirmed the shooter was Logan Allen, whom family members described as suffering from mental issues, court documents detailed. The deputies received information the suspect left in the victim's silver Nissan and Ward County deputies and Texas Department of Public Safety troopers found him at Marker 80 on Interstate 20 in Ward County and detained him, Griffiths said. Court documentations indicate deputies recovered an AR-style rifle from the car. The 18-year-old confessed to shooting his cousin, but the motive remains unknown, Griffiths said. Hector County Justice of the Peace Elizabeth Baez signed a murder warrant for the teenager and set bond at $1 million, Griffiths said. Shooting leads to drug arrests. A shooting early Friday morning led to the arrest of a married couple on multiple felony drug charges. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were notified around 5:15 a.m. there was a gunshot victim at Odessa Regional Medical Center. When officers arrived, they learned Tiffany Self had been shot in the arm, but she refused to talk to them, the report stated. Officers knew Self stayed at the Odessa Motor Inn on East 2nd Street, and when they arrived, they found a blood trail leading to the room she shares with her husband, Anthony, the report stated. Anthony Self, 56, initially told officers an unknown person shot his wife and fled. However, he later told them he tripped and accidentally shot her after grabbing his gun, thinking someone was breaking into their room, the report stated. Officers found a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson and a Taurus 38 special revolver in a dumpster near the Self's motel room, the report stated. They also found a backpack with a 9mm pistol, ecstasy tablets, and a methamphetamine in the same dumpster. Inside the room, officers found a .40 caliber spent cartridge case, multiple scales, baggies, marijuana, 3 pounds of suspected ecstasy, 10.5 grams of suspected methamphetamine, and 92 grams of suspected cocaine, the report stated. Anthony Self told officials he's been selling drugs out of the motel room, but he said he didn't know how the drugs got in the dumpster, according to the report. Both suspects were arrested on suspicion of 3 counts of manufacture/delivery of a controlled substance, and Anthony Self is also facing 1 count of aggravated assault, causing serious bodily injury. According to Hector County jail records, Tiffany Self was arrested by Odessa police in February on 2 drug possession charges and on suspicion of unlawful carrying of a weapon by a felon. She was released after posting surety bonds totaling $50,500. She is now being held on surety bonds totaling $75,000. Jail records show Anthony Self was also arrested on drug possession charges in February. He was released after posting surety bonds totaling $25,500. He is now being held on surety bonds totaling $125,000. Quick hits. The National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive is this Saturday. Letter carriers across the country will collect non-perishable food donations. These donations go directly to local food pantries. Leave non-perishable food donations in a bag by your mailbox on Saturday, and your letter carrier will do the rest. Over the course of its 30-year-plus history, the drive has collected more than 1.9 billion pounds of food. Early voting for the Ector County primary runoff election begins on Monday, May the 20th, and ends on Friday, May the 24th. Voters can call the elections office for local information at 432-498-4030. You may also visit the webpage for the early voting schedules, election day vote centers, and sample ballots. Odessa's Got Talent. Odessa's Got Talent will be back with even more showstoppers and all in support of the Permian Basin Mission Center. The event serves as a fundraiser benefiting the Permian Basin Mission Center. Odessa's Got Talent will take place on June 1st at the Ector Theater. Tickets can be bought through the Ector Theater. This will be the fourth year of Odessa's Got Talent. Last year, the show had a good turnout of talented Odessians, and this year is sure to be just as exciting, organizers said. The show began as a fundraiser for the PBMC and has blossomed into an annual event for the community to look forward to. Treaty Oak Revival. Treaty Oak Revival returns home for a one-night-only concert June the 28th at the Midland County Horseshoe Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now. VIP floor and lawn tickets will be available for purchase online at midlandhorseshoe.com. Obituaries. Andrew Austin Andy Burke, age 67, passed away on Sunday, May the 5th. A private graveside burial is to be Wednesday, May 8th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa at 3 p.m. Barbara Wayne Fitzgerald O'Neill passed away peacefully on May the 2nd. The family is having a celebration of life on May the 11th at 2 p.m. at Odessa Bible Church in Odessa. Jane Austin Bush Sedate passed away on May the 4th. Jane's life and legacy will be celebrated at Sunset Memorial Gardens Friday, May the 10th at 1 p.m. Amy Jo Marshall, age 86, passed away on April the 27th. Funeral services will include a memorial service at 10 a.m. Friday, May the 10th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa. Kevin Lamont Fitz, age 46, died Tuesday, April the 30th. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Floyd Bedford Hinson, age 91 of Odessa, died Friday, May the 3rd. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. May the 14th at Highland Methodist Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Eva Kasparek, age 91 of Midland, died Friday, May the 3rd, in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. May 8th at the Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at the Sunset Memorial Gardens. Louis Natas, age 91 of Odessa, died Thursday, May the 2nd in Odessa. No services have been scheduled, and arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Olaf Samaniego, 37 of Odessa, died Sunday, May the 5th, in Richardson, Texas. Chapel service will be held at 10 a.m. May the 11th at La Paz Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, May the 8th. On May 8, 1996, South Africa took another step from apartheid to democracy by adopting a constitution that guaranteed equal rights for blacks and whites. On this date, in 1541, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto reached the Mississippi River. In 1915, Regret became the first filly to win the Kentucky Derby. In 1945, President Harry S. Truman announced on radio that Nazi Germany forces had surrendered and that the flags of freedom fly all over Europe. In 1972, President Richard Nixon announced that he had ordered the mining of Haiphong Harbor during the Vietnam War. In 1973, militant American Indians who had held the South Dakota hamlet of Wounded Knee for 10 weeks surrendered. In 1978, David R. Berkowitz pleaded guilty in a Brooklyn courtroom to murder, attempted murder, and assault in connection with the Son of Sam shootings that claimed six lives and terrified New Yorkers. Berkowitz was sentenced to six consecutive life prison terms. In 1984, the Soviet Union announced it would boycott the upcoming Summer Olympic Games in Los Angeles. In 1993, the Muslim-led government of Bosnia-Herzegovina and rebel Bosnian Serbs signed an agreement for a nationwide ceasefire. In 2003, the Senate unanimously endorsed adding to NATO seven former communist nations: Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia. In 2012, Maurice Sadak, author of Where the Wild Things Are and other beloved children's books, died in Danbury, Connecticut at age 83. In 2018, President Donald Trump withdrew the U.S. from the nuclear accord with Iran and restored harsh sanctions. Trump had been a severe critic of the deal negotiated by the Obama administration, in which Iran agreed to restrictions on its nuclear program.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for May 2, 2024 by Kathy Chateau. Carlsbad Caverns hiring paleo assistants to help document caves. It's not every day you see a help wanted post for paleontology assistants, but that's just what the dinosaur ordered at Carlsbad Caverns National Park. The paleontology assistants are being recruited for full-time positions over 1 year for work that will start in December, flexible. They will assist with the project document paleontological sites and caves at the national park. There's much work to be done at the caverns, as 49 of the 55 recorded caves with paleontological resources at the park have not been inventoried. The assistants will have a wide variety of responsibilities associated with the inventory project, including documenting, mapping, photographing, and identifying paleontological resources in caves, conducting fossil condition assessments of cave sites, creating a geodatabase of cave fossil sites, creating a digital fossil archive, curating and identifying collected specimens, and making fossil resources available for interpretation, education, and scientific study via displays, photogrammetry, and interpretive programs. The positions are part of the Scientists in Parks program, which offers paid full work experiences with the National Park Service in natural resource fields. The program aims to ensure that next-gen park stewards, especially those underrepresented in science, can work on key projects while gaining experience and building lifelong connections to the national parks. The hired professionals' responsibilities will be divided in line with their skills and interests, said the park, with the overriding focus being cave field study. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Midland and Odessa Chambers advocate for Permian Basin in Washington, D.C., May 6, 2024, by staff report. The Chambers of Commerce from both Midland and Odessa headed to Washington, D.C. last week to advocate as a joint force for the Permian Basin. Over 60 citizens from Midland and Odessa participated in the Fly In to D.C., a biennial trip for the two chambers that began in 2022. They included professionals in the oil and gas industry, entrepreneurs, civic leaders, educators, and students from the University of Texas Permian Basin. Over 2 days, elected officials and policy experts discussed issues close to the hearts of citizens of West Texas, including workforce development, healthcare, immigration, energy, and more. The trip was presented by Diamondback Energy. Fox News Chief Washington Correspondent Michael Emanuel, Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz of Texas, Congressman August Pfluger, and other members of Congress were among the featured speakers. The local chambers and attending organizations organizations held breakout meetings with legislators and staff on Capitol Hill. The fly-in to D.C. trips were inspired by Odessa and Midland legislative days in Austin, which has been going on for over two decades, according to Renee Earls, president and CEO of the Odessa Chamber. These programs are an opportunity for our cities to come together with one voice, Earls says. Evan Thomas, Midland Chamber president and CEO, said participants hear from experts with diverse perspectives on important issues. At the same time, they get an opportunity to introduce themselves to lawmakers and other decision makers and serve as ambassadors for our communities, Thomas said. Congressman Pfluger touted Odessa and Midland's important role on the world stage. Our oil and gas industry is at the center of energy, economic, and national security for our nation, he said. Our industry has a great story to tell. Our people have a great story to tell. We need to tell it. Legislative days at the state capitol in Austin is slated for February 2025. CAR, along with other coalition partners, is lending its weight to support the regulations, said Sanjay Wagel, CAR SVP Government Affairs. The result should stabilize the market and allow for more companies to enter and come back. Despite existing regulations, progress is being made in housing creation in California. Ward notes how San Diego has about 9,000 units of housing under permit currently, when the city used to do 2,000 to 3,000 housing permits per year. And we are all seeing a stabilization in the rents because supply and demand is a real thing, he said. I do see a lot of political will and energy, but looking at the totality of the bills we are working on, it's going to add up to turning the trend lines around and solving California's housing crisis. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream. A History of American Fashion at Ellen Noel Art Museum, May 6, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is set to take a high-heeled sachet into Stephen Porterfield's collection via A History of American Fashion, Thursday, May 23rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. The event slated for the museum's on-site library is free to attend. Porterfield, owner of the Cat's Meow Vintage Clothing and Antique Store in Midland, will share his expertise on insights on the topic at hand during a lecture at the special evening event. The longtime friend and supporter of the museum also curated the 2020 expedition, Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion, there, according to the museum. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is located at 4919 East University Boulevard in Odessa. Questions? Contact the museum at 432-550-9696 or mddir@noelartmuseum.org. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Midland Health. IT framework leads to better outcomes. In the constantly evolving world of healthcare, information technology, IT, must remain at the forefront of emerging innovations and technological architectures. Midland Health's IT department recently implemented a new strategic framework, the Four Disciplines of Execution, or 4DX. Jason Ewing, Chief Information Officer and Vice President at Midland Health, utilized the previous execution of 4DX at other organizations under his leadership to guide his team toward delivering quality outcomes. Ewing's fresh approach is to reinvigorate current processes and systems to troubleshoot patient and employee technology-related issues. This framework invites all IT department members to utilize the expertise acquired through firsthand field testing and implementation. As the healthcare industry experiences a significant shift with the adoption of digital tools and the influx of data, the 4DX strategy is a comprehensive approach that guides IT professionals toward excellence. The concept and framework are a derivative of the book The Four Disciplines of Execution by Chris McChesney, Sean Covey, and John Hewling. Stephen Covey, Sean Covey's father, is the author of the famous and best-selling book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. As a continuation of the concept, the Four Disciplines of Execution broaden the vision, engage all team members, and ensure accountability for performance. Below is a brief overview. Discipline 1, Focus. teams developed a breakthrough initiative by focusing on a wildly important goal, WIG. Discipline 2, leverage. Act on lead measures. These action items are important and can propel the organization toward achieving its goal. The frontline IT teams have selected these items because they are predictive and within the organization's control to influence. Discipline 3, engagement. Use a compelling scoreboard. Tracking data and maintaining a record of scores or points creates an engaging and competitive aspect of participation. Keeping scores motivates team members to participate fully. The 4DX program utilizes real-time scoreboards and dashboards to indicate lead, measure, achievement, and progress. Discipline 4, accountability. Creating a cadence of accountability is essential for any great team to operate. Accountability holds participants responsible for their role, but also secures genuine commitment to their team, WIG. In 4DX, each team engages in a simple weekly process that highlights successes, analyzes failures, and course corrects. This quarter's challenge? Ewing challenged each team within the department to create a solution that directly influences how quickly tickets are closed within the organization. Hundreds of tickets or formal requests for assistance. Creating a solution to help solve these tickets would dramatically increase efficiency and experience on both sides, patient and employee. During the celebration and competition, the IT team danced in to celebrate their newly formed ideas and solutions. Wigged out teams presented their 4DX models to guest judges. A key ingredient to the new program's approach. Members must be excited. The basement conference room was brimming with excitement, competition, and zest. Under the guidance of Jason Cargyle, MSNRN Clinical Information Analyst 3, Kelson O'Neill, IT Shared Services Manager, and the co-leadership of Shanity Shook, Assistant Chief Information Officer, quote, our IT crew has witnessed the 4DX method reinforce our commitment to teamwork and spark a blaze of innovation. It has instilled a culture where the frontline foundation and its insights are the sails propelling us forward, end quote. Quote, it's not just a framework. It's called a unity, focusing our efforts where they count the most, end quote, says Cargyle. Using this approach increases the chances of making noticeable improvements. Shook expounds, quote, 4DX, end quote, molds our primary objectives to deliver quality outcomes with speed, engaging our leaders and teams while causing the smallest ripples in our operations. In an industry where strategic goals must be both measurable and navigable, 4DX is invaluable. The 4DX approach plays a significant role at Midland Health and goes beyond methodology. Guiding IT professionals to take control of variables to deliver healthcare with purpose and precision. 4DX requires a mindset focused on embracing change, but also paving the way for a future where patient care and employee performance transcend boundaries. Every technique refined and every strategy employed under the 4DX flag aims to elevate one crucial outcome, the patient experience. By sharpening their skills, IT professionals streamline systems and positively impact the working systems. The healthcare IT industry is at the forefront of a digital revolution with a future full of possibilities. It propels patient data, communication, and technology forward with momentum and precision, driving the wheels of healthcare. Midland Health's IT team is ready to breathe a fresh, fun approach to improving outcomes where they do not just traverse technological tides, they sculpt, form, and ride them toward a horizon where patient care is paramount.
Breaking down the causes and symptoms of long COVID. Dear Dr. Roach, I read last year that nearly 20 million Americans were living with long COVID, but I understand that the number is much higher now. Can you explain exactly what long COVID is and how it is treated? Dr. Roach responds, persistent symptoms after an infection are not unique to COVID. Many people will have cough or asthma exacerbations for weeks or even months after a bad flu infection. Likewise, many people have symptoms relating to many different body systems after recovering from COVID. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization differ on the amount of time after an infection that has to pass for it to be considered long COVID. 4 weeks and 3 months, respectively. The most common physical symptoms of long COVID are fatigue, shortness of breath, and muscle aches. In one study of people who survived the initial wave of COVID, 45% had at least one persistent physical symptom. The most common and persistent neurological, psychological symptoms are anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and cognition problems. Brain fog. Up to 25% of COVID survivors had one of these symptoms after their physical recovery. This was higher than other respiratory viruses, such as influenza. I wish I could get better results from the available treatments. Essentially, we treat each patient's concerns the same way we would if the person hadn't had COVID. Emphasis on sleep, nutrition, and exercise are critical. But we should still recognize that many people with long COVID have symptoms that are very similar to chronic fatigue syndrome. As such, exercise should not be overdone since this can worsen post-exertional symptoms. And you can reach Dr. Roach by writing to him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Dear Abby, I met a coworker about a year ago and we started dating. He had been clean and sober from alcohol for more than 10 years. We got along very well, but he is drinking again and his behavior has changed. There are mood swings, bouts of jealousy, and finger pointing. When he drinks, it's unpleasant and the smell seeping from his pores is nauseating. He finds almost any reason to have a drink. When I try to talk to him about it, he says he does nothing wrong and he drinks because he wants to, or some other reason that makes no sense. I'm tired of the excuses. Then he begs for forgiveness or accuses me of not wanting him around. I have told him he needs to work on himself and get back into the program, and he says all he can do is take one day at a time. He drinks and drives, which poses a danger to himself and others. He's jealous of my ex and my grown children. He plays the victim, and his answers to questions are, I don't remember, I didn't do anything, or I don't know what you're talking about. I'm at my wit's end and can't take any more. Please help. Signed, Toxic Relationship. Dear Toxic, draw the line. Remind your coworker that when you started dating him, he was on the wagon. Tell him that when he drinks, his personality changes and you do not like the person he becomes. You need to educate yourself about alcoholism, and an effective way to do that would be to join Al-Anon and attend some meetings. If you really can't take any more, stop dating him. And if it creates problems where you work, inform your boss or supervisor. I'm sure that because of the potential liability, your employer won't be thrilled about having a drunk for an employee. And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.